Guitar World Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with guitarist John Five. In our conversation, John tells us about his new album, Ghost, and his quest for learning and the guitar teachers that mentored him early on. John describes his parents' support of his musical endeavors and how watching Hee-Haw started his love for Fender guitars and Telecasters. John discusses his relationship with Ibanez and how that led to his relationship with Fender, and John describes growing up in Michigan and how FM radio shaped his musical tastes. John tells us about how folks from Warner Brothers came to Michigan to woo his parents into letting him move to LA and start doing session work for them before he graduated high school. John walks us through the different bands he's played in, Katie Lang, David Lee Roth, Rob Halford, Marilyn Manson, and Rob Zombie to name a few, and he discusses his gear through each band and what he's using now and why he uses off-the-shelf gear. John describes how Buckethead influenced John's live show and tells us about his friendship with Buckethead and his love of Eddie Van Halen. John talks a little bit about the Motley Crue residency in Las Vegas and his own solo tour with Richie Kotzen after that. And John talks about a tour in 2026 playing 50 states in 50 days. And finally, John describes his love of the horror genre. To find out more about John, you can go to his website, john-5.com. That's john-5.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my buddy, John Five.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
Thanks for taking the time to speak with me. I appreciate it.
You got it, man. You got it.
Is your whole day just talking to press, though, you know?
No, because after this, I got to go to rehearsal and all this stuff, but it's all great stuff. I love it.
Yeah, good. Good.
Yeah.
Good. I love the album. It's fantastic.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, there's a lot in it. You know, there's a lot of styles, a lot of picking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I love that you put Moonglow in it. That makes me happy.
Yeah, I love Moonglow. My parents used to listen to that all the time. It's just so wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. Did you go to music school? And I mean, did you study jazz at some point?
I study still today.
Okay.
Like, still, I am always learning, and that's the thing that I do, is I never stop learning. I'm always looking for things. I'm always, like, for information. I think it keeps me from going crazy, to be honest. But I love to learn. I love as much knowledge as possible. I wish I was like that in school, but I wasn't. But I just love to learn everything, and why this and why that. And it's just really a lot of fun for me.
Very, yeah, of course. But you're not like a student of Berkeley or a student of GIT or anything like that.
No, I never went. Because I started working so early, I started just doing sessions so early, right out of high school. But I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go more than anything, and I would love to do, like, even after all of this, you know, like touring and doing all that stuff, I would love to go take some seminars at Berkeley or something like that. That would be my dream.
Sure. Or at Northridge, like right close to you.
Yeah, really close.
Yeah. Well, did you have a guitar instructor that mentored you early on?
I had a bunch. I always like was trying to get as many guitar teachers. You know, people would have like a guitar teacher, like you'd have a guitar lesson like once a week, but I had like, you know, three a week. You know, I would just have all these teachers and all this stuff going on all the time. I just was such a sponge, man. It's all I did. And it's still pretty much all I do right now. It just play all the time.
Sure. Were your parents musical?
No, I mean, they sang and stuff like that, but no one really played an instrument.
Okay.
But they were very supportive because they can see how obsessive I was about it. You know, and that was, I think that's cool, because I really was so, like, crazy about it. And I still am. I mean, I was just playing up to the minute I had to talk to you. It's so funny. It's so weird. I don't even notice it, but now I like, you know, I'm like, wow, it's really weird.
What are you playing? What instrument do you have there with you?
I was playing my Ghost.
Okay.
And I was going over, no, I was playing the Phantom, and then I'm working on a new song called the Phantom.
Okay.
Because this record is called the Ghost after my guitar, you know. And then, you know, I live with ghosts too, like just, you know, people have passed on and stuff, but now I'm working on a song called the Phantom.
All right on. And yeah. Will there be an album called The Phantom after this?
Yeah.
All right on. And at what point did your relationship with Fender start?
Well, I always played Tellys because I loved Hee-Haw.
Sure.
And I played Tellys.
Yeah.
And I was so young. I thought that was the only guitar that existed. I thought an electric guitar looked like the Telecaster. I didn't know anything else. And so I wanted a Telecaster so bad. And I got a Stratocaster at first.
Okay.
And this was, you know, in the 70s. And I was super happy and played that for a while. But I eventually got a Telecaster. Mm-hmm. And when I started doing gigs, I would always play a Telly, you know, with Halford and David Lee Roth and everything like that. But when I got Marilyn Manson, I needed multiple guitars, multiple. So I signed with Ibanez and I got a bunch of cool guitars from them.
Uh-huh.
And I remember at a NAMM show, I went to the Ibanez booth and my picture wasn't anywhere. And this is when Manson was massive. And I go, okay, no big deal. You know, they didn't put my picture up or anything. So I go to Fender to look at the new guitars, and my picture's up there, and I'm not even endorsed by them. I was like, whoa. And they were like, hey, John, like, you know, we'd love you to come over here. And, you know, and I was like, oh, absolutely. So I think I got endorsed by them like around 99 or something.
Okay. Cool. And how early on did you get like a Buck Owens signature Telecaster?
Oh man. I don't remember the year, but I mean 2000 maybe 6 I got that, but God man, I love that guitar. It's so cool.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever go to the Crystal Palace?
No, and it's closing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, I didn't, but man, what a magical place that was. And a lot of Hee-Haw was filmed in Bakersfield,
sure,
I guess.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the Buck Owens Ranch show pre Hee-Haw?
No.
Oh,
I gotta look that up. Is it on the YouTube?
Oh yeah, it's all over the YouTube. Yeah, it's great. It's raw. It's, you know, it's Buck Owens in his rawness.
Oh, that's great, man.
I don't think Buck's playing the red, white, and blue guitar, but he's playing. He's got, Don Rich has definitely got the silver sparkle with the black binding.
Isn't that great, man? Yeah, it's so great. I have one of those too. I have a silver
right on.
Sparkle with a black binding.
Very good.
So great. So great, right?
So what was the music scene like when you were growing up in Michigan?
It was, you know who I loved? Absolutely loved. Of course, we loved our Kiss, we love our Van Halen,
yeah.
But I loved, for some reason, like, I love Steely Dan.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, like, it was always on the radio. I remember Steely Dan was always on the radio, and still, I think that's my favorite album of all time is Asia.
Oh, really?
You know, just love. But I loved, like, music like that. I loved, like, the Doobie Brothers and Joni Mitchell and all that stuff. But, of course, we love our Ozzy and our Van Halen. Oh, and yeah. I just was, again, such a sponge, you know. Yeah. And that's probably why I love, like, jazz and things like that, because of the Joni Mitchell and the Steely Dan and things like that. Because Pat Metheny, of course, was playing with Joni and all that stuff. Yeah.
Have you studied Pat Metheny stuff?
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
right on.
Wonderful. Larry Carlton with Dan, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Man.
How did you make the move from Michigan to L.A.?
I didn't graduate because these guys, and this is a true story, this sounds kind of weird, but these guys from Warner Brothers were like, they heard about me in Michigan, which is so, flew over. And I remember, and this sounds so crazy, flew over here and talked to my parents.
Wow.
I remember talking to my parents, coming to my house, and they had like this paperwork and everything. And they were like, I think he'll do really well. I never really talked about this because it sounds so weird. But so, yeah, I remember flying over there and getting to California. And, you know, during my senior year, I didn't even graduate. And I was working, like just working, doing these sessions and things like that.
Wow.
And I know it was very weird. And I would get very little money, like, but I loved it. I mean, when I say I loved it, I loved it. And it was just such a incredible, incredible thing. I just couldn't get enough. I like was bummed to go to sleep because I was so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Where in LA were you located?
I was on Fuller, right off of Sunset, right behind Ralph's.
Okay.
On Sunset. Yeah.
Yeah. Like deep in the heart of it.
Oh, it was the greatest thing ever. And I would go to like clubs, like Ricky Rackman would always let me into like the Cat House and Bordello and all that stuff. And I was, you know, I was underage, but he watched me, but he knew I wouldn't drink or anything. You know, I was just like looking around. And back then going to like clubs like that, man, I remember David Lee Roth was there.
Sure.
The Motley guys were there. Everybody would go to these Axel, yeah. Slash, all these guys in the height, the peak. And they would get up and play. And because this is way before cell phones.
Sure,
so no one would care, you know? And they would get up on stage and play and all this stuff. It was, dude, it was like the greatest thing ever. Now you can't do that because, you know, there's cell phones everywhere. But it was the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah. Then so were you introduced to the Motley guys back then? Like 81, 82?
Yeah, I met them, but they of course had no idea, you know, who I was and things like that. But yeah, I remember seeing them like in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And just like seeing them around. They would be always on their motorcycles and all this stuff, just like the Girls video.
Sure.
Yeah, that's just how it was. It was so weird.
How did you get hooked up with Katie Lang?
I there's a pedal steel player, his name's Greg Lease, and who's played for everybody under the sun. And he said, hey dude, you should come and audition. And I was just doing sessions. I was no name whatsoever. But I was so hungry.
Yeah.
I was so hungry. I did everything, you know, and there were so many guitar players. I mean, like high, like well-known names, like big names.
Sure.
So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to audition. How awesome. And I knew Katie's music. So what I did was, because I was familiar with open tunings, I was familiar with country music. And what I did is I learned not just the guitar parts, but I learned the lap steel parts.
Oh, wow.
I learned the keyboard parts on guitar. I learned everything just in case they were like, okay, we'll try this and this, just in case. Because I was so used to being in the studio where they would like, oh, double this keyboard line or hey, can you play the piano part on the, and that's what they do in the studio. But I didn't know in an audition, you know, you just play the guitar part.
Yeah.
But I learned everything, and I learned it in every key.
Oh, my God.
So I was like beyond prepared. Mm-hmm. And luckily I got the gig.
Oh, wow. That's great. And did you tour with her?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we played the Sydney Opera House. We played all, like, Radio City Music Hall, like, three nights.
Wow.
We played all over America, all over Japan, all over Australia. Yeah, you want to see something funny? After this, after we get off the phone here, go on YouTube and put in John 5. No, no, I'm sorry. Put in Katie Lang, Sydney, and she did, like, this concert, and there I am. You know, and I look so young. I'm like an infant.
What were you using for gear when you were playing with her?
Ibanez. This was even before, like, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I was using Ibanez. So this was before I got my deal with Fender.
Yeah, yeah. And what about amps?
Blaney.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I had no money.
Very bold. Very bold.
I had nothing. I had zero money.
That's great. The one guitarist that was playing with Katie that didn't use a Fender Deluxe.
I know, right? I didn't have one. And I didn't have like, you know, I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
But I knew the parts backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
I knew those parts.
And why did you end up not working with her?
I joined, let's see. We did a tour. We did all that stuff. Everything was great. And then I went into David Lee Roth and Rob Halford.
Oh, wow. Damn.
And started working right away.
Yeah, the complete opposite side of the music industry.
That's right. I remember with Katie Lang, like, before a show, I would put on Hate Anthem by Marilyn Manson.
Wow.
And because, you know, I just loved it, and I thought it was so rad, because the album came out right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and then just in 98 is when I joined Marilyn Manson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. And so with David Lee Roth, was it a cattle call for guitarists, or did he pick you out of the blue?
This is really weird. So when I got off the road with Katie, I was just sitting on the couch. I didn't even have a place to live, really. I was sitting on my friend's couch, and I saw his books. And, you know, this was way before cell phones and all that stuff.
Sure.
And I saw the book, and I picked up the David Lee Roth book. And I thought to myself, I wonder what Dave's doing, you know, because he wasn't really doing much at the time.
Uh-huh.
And there was an address on the back. And I go, you know what? I'm going to send some music to him, to this address.
Sure, sure.
So I go into the studio and knock out, because I knew that stuff backwards and forwards. And I put on my best Van Halen hat and just played. And sent it to this address, cold. And I got a call from Eddie Anderson. Now, Eddie Anderson, if you're a Van Halen nut like myself, he was Van Halen's security.
Okay.
Like, from the beginning, like, from, like, up until 84, and then stayed with Dave. And he goes, John, yeah, we got your CD, and Dave really likes what you're doing. I couldn't believe it, you know? I couldn't believe it. And he goes, can you send, and I sent three songs, can you send three more songs? And this was back in the day where you had to really go into a studio to record. You couldn't just be at home. And so I used, like, the money I made from Katie Lang to go into the studio and do Van Halen-type songs.
Yeah.
And I got another, and I sent it in. I got another call, and they said, oh, you know, Dave really likes these three as well. Can you give us three more? And I go, Mr. Anderson, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, I've used up all my favors and all my money. And they called back, and they said, okay, well, Dave wants to meet you. Here's his address. Go to his house. And I was supposed to go the next day. And I was so nervous. This was before Google Maps and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You would just have a Thomas guide.
Yeah, of course.
So I drove in my crappy car, and I drove to Dave's house then, right when I got off the phone. So I knew where I was going.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't get lost and was late.
Yeah, yeah.
So I drove home, and then I drove, and I was like an hour early, just kind of didn't want to be late, and I just sat in front of his house for an hour, and then got in there, and the rest is history.
Sure, sure. At any point in this time, was Varney in your life, Mike Varney?
No, that was later.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know if you were on Varney's radar, just because you were doing some pretty amazing things.
Yeah, like I was, and then I started making albums for Varney right around the end of Marilyn Manson.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. And so, tell me about Rob Halford. How about that? That couldn't have been a cattle call. He must have picked you.
Yeah, I was working with Bob Marlette and the producer, and then Rob knew Bob, and Bob said to Rob, hey, there's this really cool guitar player you should check out. And that's who I was doing a lot of the sessions for, like Wilson Phillips, Rick Springfield.
Wow.
All these sessions I was doing with Bob Marlette, John Wetton from UK and Asia.
Yeah, yeah.
Berlin, all this stuff I was doing. And he goes, there's this guitar player you should really check out. And so he goes, okay, cool, I'd like to check him out. So I flew to Rob's house. He lived in Phoenix.
Okay.
And I'm not a good flyer. So I always have little traditional things. I have my Reese's peanut butter cups. I listen to music. And this is at the time, this story goes somewhere. This is at the time where Reese's peanut butter cups, they had four peanut butter cups in a pack at one time.
Yep.
So I'm on the plane and I eat two and I'm nervous. I'm going to meet Rob Halford and all this stuff. So I put the other two Reese's peanut butter cups, you know, like in my pocket because I'm getting off the plane and all nervous, and go there and I'm talking to Rob and I'm in his beautiful house and I'm on his beautiful white couch. And he goes, hey, you want something to drink? And right then I said, oh my God, my Reese's peanut butter cups are in my pocket and I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. So I said to myself, if I get up, there's going to be a chocolate stain on this white couch, white Rob Halford couch.
Yeah.
So I said, I would like something to drink. And so that made him go in the kitchen, get up. And I look, of course, there's chocolate all over this couch. So I Mission Impossible it, and I pick up the cushion.
Oh, my God.
Turn it around. And that time, I like say, oh, Rob, can I, you know, use your bathroom and stuff? He's like, yeah, it's right down there. So I'm cleaning up my pants, just trying to get the chocolate off as much as possible. But, you know, you can only get so much chocolate off. And I just wouldn't sit down the whole time. So I'm like pacing around looking. I remember his turbo motorcycle was in the living room and I'm like pacing around and he's probably thinking, why is this guy not sitting down? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I met Halford.
That's great.
Yeah.
So when you were with David, what kind of gear were you playing there? Were you playing Telecasters at that point?
I was playing Tellies and with Halford and, Halford and Roth, I'm playing Tellies, yeah.
Okay. Like standard Tellies or with humbuckers?
Standard Tellies.
Wow.
Standard Tellies. I know. So stack pickups, you know, like the noiseless.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Man, I did. You listen to those albums, like the David Lee Roth ones. You listen to Slam Dunk. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of gain on that, man. It was really cool.
What were you using for amps at that point?
Back then, I was using Marshall. I started getting Marshall. I started getting into Marshall, and thank God. And, I was using Marshalls and just Stomp Boxes and Tele.
Yeah. Wow.
I had a 52 reissue when they did that really great 52 reissue. I don't know what they put when they put that out, like 96 or 94, somewhere around there.
Yep.
I had a 52 reissue and I had a copper. Uh-huh. Man, a copper Telecaster, and they both were amazing. I still have.
Oh, right on. Right on. Do you for the most part, keep the guitars that you've been using, or do you ever like get rid of stuff?
I get rid of some stuff because I have so much stuff, mm-hmm. but I get rid of some stuff because I know that people enjoy it because of the fact I get things that I enjoy from people
so much
that I cherish, and that's why I do that.
Yeah, yeah. When you get rid of stuff, do you go to Reverb, or how do you, or is there a music store in particular that you sell it to, or?
You know, I do it to like
Facebook Marketplace.
No, I do it to like fans that really are, you know, crazy about it. Because I know they'll be so happy with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Perfect. And what about, is there stuff that you're still seeking out guitar wise, amp wise?
You know what's funny? I have so many Telecasters, but you know what's funny? I've been looking at these beautiful, I love a tobacco Les Paul with like fucking cream pickups, those cream DiMarzio pickups. And I love a beautiful black Les Paul with like the white pickup casing.
Yeah, you know? yeah, of course. Yeah.
God, it's just so beautiful. So I've been looking at those, you know? It's gorgeous guitar, just gorgeous, gorgeous guitars.
Yeah. And do you go to music stores, like you go to Norm's or any of the places?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love going in places and plugging in guitars and playing and stuff like that. I love doing that wherever I am. I love.
Cool. Yeah. So can you tell me about Marilyn Manson, how you got hooked up with Marilyn?
Yeah, so when I was with Halford, we were on Nothing Records, which Nothing Records was Trent Reznor's label.
Oh, wow.
So Trent Reznor signed Halford, and we were on Nothing Records, and Trent produced our record. And Manson, I heard, lost his guitars. Now, let me go even before that.
Sure.
When Daisy left the band and they were looking for a guitar player. Now, this is very early on. This is right, I believe, before Antichrist.
Okay.
And I heard that they were looking for a guitar player. So I called the studio in New Orleans. And I said, hey, I heard you guys were looking for a guitar player. And they said, we found somebody. Click. And so I was like, wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But then and this was early, like 95, maybe 96 or something. I don't know. This was early on. My dates could be, like, weird. But anyways, we got a deal with Trent Reznor. And Trent was like, oh, the guitar player is really unique and special and stuff.
Sure.
And Manson was losing his guitar player at this time because we were doing a show with Marilyn Manson. So Rob Halford, we were on this festival in Europe, and Rob Halford was going on right before Marilyn Manson. And so I was so excited to see Manson.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I finally get to see Manson live, and we play, crowd goes crazy, and I'm waiting for Manson to go on. They never go on. And they, like, something happened and canceled the show, like, right there.
Uh-huh.
So we flew home. That was the last show of the tour. And we flew home, and, of course, before cell phones, and my phone was ringing in my apartment.
Uh-huh.
I was like, my God, I have all these bags and my guitar and fucking headphones from the airplane on me and stuff. I get in, I pick up my phone. Hello? hello. And they said, oh, this is Tony Ciula, Marilyn Manson's manager, and we're having trouble with our guitar player. Would you like to come meet Manson?
Wow.
And I just got home from Europe, and I was like, absolutely. So we go on Ventura Boulevard to this restaurant, Gaucho Grill, and I walk up, and Manson, I see his he had a white Mercedes at the time, and I'm like, is that Manson's car? And I look, and there was the David Lee Roth CD in his back seat.
Wow.
And the Rob Halford one.
Okay, all right.
So he was doing his research.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I get there, and he's like, here's what we want to do. I want to, you know, your name's going to be John 5, and I'm going to do everything with numbers, and the new record's called Mechanical Animals and blah, 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 and this is when we leave, and our first show is going to be the MTV Music Awards and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, okay. So I just – I didn't audition. I just took the gig right there.
Yeah.
I remember going home and practicing the sounds. But this is a true story. I wish I still had this piece of paper. But I remember going home and practicing my autograph, John 5.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because it was so, because I had this new name now, a new persona.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was, and I remember him going, you got to shave your eyebrows off, you know. You so it was, yeah, that was it. And the first show was the MTV Video Music Awards.
Oh, wow, right on. That's yeah. Trial by fire.
Yeah.
And when did you get hooked up with Rob Zombie?
Rob Zombie, so I got let go from Manson in 2000, let's see, 2003, late 2003, late 2003, almost into 2004. And I was doing, you know, instrumental records at the time and all that stuff. And I got a call from, I believe it was Dave Navarro going, hey, we're going to do this tsunami benefit. Uh-huh. And I said, oh, okay, cool. Who's playing the benefit? This is when the tsunami hit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
These concerts. And I said, well, who's playing? They said, you know, No Doubt and this and that. And they said, Rob Zombie. And I said, oh, Dave, please put me with Rob Zombie. I love Rob Zombie. You know, I was huge White Zombie fan. I loved Rob Zombie. I actually liked like Rob Zombie music better than White Zombie. I just thought it was like, oh my God, this is when Hellbilly Deluxe came out. And
sure.
Urge. I just loved it. So Dave goes, okay, you could play, you know, Thunderkiss. And I was like, great. So, you know, I'm practicing that and we get to rehearsals and I'm playing it. And right at the end of the song, while the song is still playing, if you notice, at the end of Thunderkiss, there's no vocals. It's just guitar. So Rob's already packing up and leaving. But I wanted to talk to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm playing the end of Thunderkiss while he's walking. And I get off the stage while still playing, and I yell in his ear, if you ever need a guitar player, let me know. And I'm still playing the song.
Sure.
And that was it. And we played the tsunami because that was just at rehearsal. And we played the show, yeah. The benefit. And we just sat and talked and really had a good time talking and liked all the same stuff. And it was wonderful. And that relationship lasted for 17 wonderful years. We just had so much fun.
Yeah.
We made great records. We had a blast every day, laughed, and did wonderful work together for 17 years.
Yeah. Did you ever cross paths with Jesse Dayton?
With who?
Jesse Dayton.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Were you, as a kid, were you always into the Universal like horror movies and stuff?
Always. You know what's weird? Is I still watch them right here on that TV before I go to bed. So you know, I just watched The Invisible Woman. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But now I just finished that and I just started Wolfman. So I go you know, Dracula, son of Dracula, Dracula's daughter, you know, all that stuff, House of Dracula. I go all of the Universal, you know, horror movies. I love them. I still watch them to this day. I love them. Love them.
And but are you into, like, horror in general also?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not, like, such a crazy slasher film guy, but I really enjoy, like, It Follows or things like that that are really well-done movies, you know?
Yeah. Do you ever, like, dress up in disguise and go to, like, Hollywood, you know, the HHN at Universal or...?
Yeah, I do, and because I love all that stuff, man. Yeah.
What about, like, you ever get Buckethead together with you and go down to Oogie Boogie Bash and at Disneyland?
Oh, I would love to. I love Buckethead. He's, like, just so wonderful. I just love him so much. And, you know, he's really one of the main inspirations that I had for going out and playing live. Because I was thinking to myself, no one really wants to hear this, like, you know, because I did a bunch of instrumental records, and I'm like thinking nobody wants to hear me go out and play instrumental music, because it was weird. It was like country and banjos
and of course
heavy stuff. But Buckethead was one of the main influences for me to go out and play live shows, because I, you know, I love him so much, and I would go see his shows, and I'd, like, would talk to him, and I love his records. So, yeah, I just really enjoy it.
Buckethead doesn't talk, though.
I know, but he
Brian does. Brian talks, but
Buckethead. Brian talks. Yeah. And he's wonderful. He's just great, great musician.
Yeah. So you're going to do this tour. So what happens first? Are you doing the residency with Motley, and then you're doing a tour?
Yeah, I do the residency, like, really soon. I leave next Tuesday.
Okay.
And do the residency, then right away go right into my instrumental tour with Richie Kotzen, and we're playing everywhere. We're starting in California, and we're playing, like, I'm playing the Iridium. I'm even playing this cool place in Joshua Tree at the end of the tour, right before Thanksgiving, called Poppy and Harriet's.
Oh yeah, of course.
Doing that. So we're playing everywhere. I'm super excited to be doing this with Richie. It's gonna be a blast, you know. Yeah. So much fun. And then this is crazy. It got out into the news a little bit, but in 26 I'm gonna do 50 shows in 50 states in 50 days.
Wow.
So 50 shows in a row, 50 different states. Actually, I think I'm going to do 51. I think we're going to, because, you know, I think George Thorogood did it. And I think someone else did it too. I think maybe the Melvins or something.
Okay.
But I'm going to beat that. I'm going to try to, like, you know, have them book me in, like, different little cities other than just states. So I'm going to hopefully try for, like, you know, maybe 60.
Sure. Wow. That's very ambitious. You did a video for Instagram about your gear for Motley, right?
Yeah.
Recently. Yeah. But when you do your solo tour, what's the gear going to look like for that?
It's basically the same thing. Okay. You know, it's basically the same thing, because a couple things will change, a couple delays will change and stuff. But I like to keep it so simple. You know, I just love to keep my gear simple. And the reason why, a long time ago, I think it was with Manson or something, we were doing some shows with Korn. Mm-hmm. And we were in, it was summertime, I think we were in Texas or Arizona, and my stuff just literally melted.
Oh, no.
So everybody was freaking out. And I said, don't worry, go to Guitar Center, just get me an amp, get me these pedals, I'll be fine. And they were like, really? You just off the shelf, you don't need any modification? I said, I don't need anything modification, just get me this head or a head, any head, get me a cabinet. Well, the cabinet was fine, to be honest with you, but the head, and get me these pedals. They were like, okay. So they went, got me the head, got me the pedals, did the show. No one knew anything. So I love to keep it where I can walk into any music store, grab things off the shelf, and do a show.
Yeah, right on, right on. And your amps that you are using right now, what are they?
EVH.
Oh, EVH, okay, cool.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Dude, like, listen, we all love our Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The greatest, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Incredible player. Incredible innovator with, like, the, you know.
Everything. Yeah.
Everything. But also, what an incredible songwriter.
Yep.
Dude, like, songs of our generation, sure, that changed our lives that we still listen to today.
Yep.
Today. But then, if he isn't a genius enough, like a real genius, here he is, and he creates these amps and these guitars. You're like, couldn't someone just create this bubble that nothing happened to Eddie Van Halen?
Exactly.
Like, he was so important to us and to music and to people. Like, couldn't they just protect him and just, like, all right, Eddie, whatever you need, just let us know what you need. Just, you know, keep doing what you're doing, you know?
Exactly.
But, yeah, that's what I'm using, the EVH.
Right on. And the pedals that you use, are they all Boss pedals?
They're just all Boss pedals.
Yeah, those are great. Those, I mean, they sound great.
The same thing I've been using since the eighth grade, you know?
Are any of them modded by anybody? Like, did Keeley mod any of them? No.
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 Nothing. Just straight. Right, you can't beat it.
Yep. That's a fact. That's a fact. And will you be taking a band with you? Like, where you're going to have, you know, drums? You're not going to be playing the tracks, are you?
Yeah. So here's the thing. What's funny is we tour a lot, you know, and it's rigorous. You know, it's tough. I have this great drummer, Alex Picardo, but bass player, like our bass player, who was great. He was brilliant bass player. He was brilliant, but it was hard on the road, you know? And so I have a bass cabinet with a bass head, and I have tracks, the bass tracks coming out of the bass head.
All right.
So I just move around all around the whole stage and play. And I also play bass during the show, and banjo and mandolin and all this stuff. So it's a crazy, crazy show. It's really fun.
Right on.
And the reason why I'm doing this, and I always give credit where credit's due. I went to go see Buckethead years and years ago at the, where was it? At some place here. I forget what it was. But I was like, you know, sitting there and with some friends, and we're all waiting for Buckethead to come on.
Uh-huh.
And there was an amp and a couple pedals, no backdrop, no nothing. It was just him with an amp and pedals. That was it. And it was one of the greatest shows ever.
Oh, sure.
And that's what made me go, you know what? Because I love a live drummer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to have a drummer. And it was it's magic. Yeah. It's so great. You know, it's so wonderful.
Yep. That way you don't have to worry about leave your bass player.
Yeah, right. But our bass player was wonderful. He was incredible. Like, he is a true, true, incredible talent.
Right on. Right on. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, John. I appreciate your time. I'm going to try to catch the shows in, I'm in Northern California. So the show's in either Roseville or in San Jose.
Yeah, please let me know and we'll hook up.
Oh, right on. Absolutely. That'd be an honor. Thank you very much, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Have a great afternoon. Dude. Great rehearsal.
See ya.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com, and I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.